This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham, sitting in for Cynthia Canty. Storytelling is as old as human understanding. Before there were news reporters or historians or poets or the written word, there were storytellers. There were the people who carried the knowledge of the people in their history. It's no wonder that a good storyteller still captures us and tells us about things that explain some of the larger issues and lessons of life in a way that we can understand. Listening to stories is in our genes. The University of Michigan is presenting a series called Understanding Race, and tomorrow night at the Michigan Theater, one of those storytellers will be doing what he does best. Joining us now, LaRon Williams, welcome to Stateside. I think too often we think of storytellers as those nice little people who visit the local library and tell the stories to kids, and you do some of that, but tomorrow night you've got a story for adults.
Yeah, most people, the common perception is when they hear the term storyteller, they think of it as a children's activity. And so it requires some work. It's a little bit of an uphill struggle to get people to realize that it even can be something for adults. You know, people used to sit on the front porch and they would share adventures and talk about things that had happened. So kind of maybe even since the advent of television has storytelling kind of gotten relegated to the role of a child's thing.
But, right, yeah, that's very true. The TV has really kind of skewed that. Although I think that you'd agree that there are some comedians out there, for example, who are great storytellers, and they just give it in snippets with a punchline. Not every story has a punchline.
Right.
So tell me something about your story, Elm Park 1955.
Yeah, it's a story about racial dynamics, really. It's based on true events from my life, all of which were, let's just say, at least somewhat, they carried a lot of emotion. I'm trying to avoid using the word traumatic, radio listeners, but let's call them traumatic events. So my thoughts as a child were, of course, unformulated, but the impact of those events stayed with me and resonated. And as an adult, I was faced with a choice about what to do with that information. How can I take it and turn it into something constructive? So I created a story based on the trauma, but also I wanted it to be an explicatory piece. So it isn't simply about one person's bad break or some horrible things that happened to me in life. It's also an explicatory story about the dynamics of race in my community at particular points in time. It starts out in 1955, and that's why it has the title. And the area in Flint where I grew up is called Elm Park. So that's the title. But it also covers other time periods as well.
Talked about being traumatized. How did that express itself and how did it affect you?
Actually, I can give you a particular with that. One of the incidents in the story happened when I was 4 years old, 1955, when I was in a local barbershop, probably the most popular barbershop on the south side of Flint. And I happened to see the picture of Emmett Till that was in Jet magazine that year. And I don't know if you've ever had a chance to see that image, but imagine a four-year-old looking at something so grotesque and knowing that it was a human being. So and also knowing that this was an African-American boy like I was. And particularly in the context of that year, we learn about Emmett Till's death, his murder, but there were several lynchings that happened during 1955. And in fact, one just a week before Till was killed, where there was an African-American man who was shot in the back in public on the lawn of the courthouse with several witnesses, dozens of witnesses, and was never the murderers were never prosecuted for that crime.
Yeah. So there was an existence, but nobody saw.
Yeah. Everybody saw, but nobody saw. Yeah. So there was an existing milieu that, even at age four, I already knew about. I knew a lot about. So when I saw that picture, the trauma was that I became him.
Right.
I became this boy, this grotesque-looking, I'll just say, creature that I saw in this magazine. So much of the story flows out of my recognition of my vulnerability being like Emmett Till. And then there are other things that build on that, too.
Is this storytelling a way for you to deal with all the leftover feelings from that young boy in 1955?
In a way, I suppose some of that is in there, but my strongest feeling about that is no, it's not really, because I think of my storytelling as a profession, and even if I want to share those traumatic events, I have to get them to a point where I'm not using them as therapy in front of an audience, which it's a difficult balance sometimes. I have stories that I haven't told. I've conceptualized them for years, but I haven't told them because the emotional pain is still so strong. So I have to be over it enough that I'm not relying on an audience situation to take care of me in the middle of it. I'm not relying on an audience to take it anywhere. It's for me, this is a story. And as I said earlier, it's an explicatory story. The value of the story lies in that it offers social explanations for what happened, even for why Emmett Till was killed, even for the things that come later. It offers explanations for those things. So I'm not asking people to come there and simply open up their hearts. I'm asking people to come and listen to a factual account that just happens to be personal as well.
Now, storytellers have a knack for telling engaging stories. We, you know, understand the characters. We get involved in the adventures. But the really good ones make us think about our own lives. So at the end of your story, what do you hope your audience carries away from the experience?
Yeah, actually just that. I hope that I've taken concepts, ideas, events that may be perceived in the abstract, or they're large social events. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in our discussion about, particularly about race or racial dynamics, it's easy to leave things on that level, on the abstract level. Either we very deeply feel them, but don't think about them, don't have a way to bring understanding to those things, or we understand them, but don't necessarily feel them. In other words, academicians have done a great deal of work in delving into and explaining racial dynamics through history, but in many cases, it remains an academic exercise. But at the same time, of course, race infects every area of our lives, and it is very much our lived experience. So we have strong feelings about it, don't necessarily study it. And that schism seems to be true with stories as well. So what I wanted to do was to take the explanation part and bring it home, to make it personal, to cement it to real events in my life.
LaRon Williams is going to be appearing at Michigan Theater tomorrow night as part of the University of Michigan's Understanding Race Project. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.